All right. Well, we'll call the meeting to order, and if everybody could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lynn, if you would please do roll call.
Trustee Dye.
Here.
Trustee Howard.
Here.
Trustee Kwiatek is absent. Trustee Lloyd.
Here.
Trustee Lubai.
Here.
Trustee Lupoli.
Here.
Great, thank you. And any requests for public participation?
No requests.
All right, with that, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Any items that somebody would like to pull or discuss? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda passes. Information only, you've got a few things in there in terms of agreements and surplus donations. And with that, I will turn it over to you, Dr. Labasseur.
Great. Yeah, the only item that I really want to elaborate a little bit on is the letter of intent that, you know, we would like to, it's non-binding at this point, but it's it will at least get us into more negotiations with the airport to look at leasing the land for the airframe and power plant program that we're working on and working on with, you know, closely with Embry-Riddle on that. We're actually looking to see if we can even start this cohort next fall, if possible, even before the building's built. So we're working on those possibilities as well. So, you know, with that, if you all are good with that, just information only, but just consensus that you're good with it, we can share that with the county because it would be with the county, the actual lease. And there are attachments to it if you want to see the plot. There you go. Yep. Plot 61 there. And that's roughly where we're looking at leasing the land. There's an existing parking lot, which helps us save on construction dollars there. And right there at the airport. And this is a win-win-win for, you know, the community, for Daytona State, for Embry-Riddle, to be able to offer this program for Team Volusia and CO Alliance as they talk to other, you know, companies to, you know, come to the area. The fact that we have a technician program right in their backyard would be a big plus in choosing this location to relocate a company.
You're intending it to be a long-term lease?
Yeah, it'd be 40 years with I think at least a 10-year renewal. And and talking with them, there's even possibility to do even a little bit more beyond that. Because typically, you know, what will happen is, you know, the end of the life of the building will come, and I think they would be very open to us re-upping because we would invest in refurbishing the building to get another 40 years out of it.
I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Seems like you have general consensus to move forward.
Thank you. Well, then my update. Okay. So just continuing on with the update, started the semester strong. We're sitting at about 7% increase in enrollment. If you remember, it's on top of about 8% from last year. So things are going really well on that side. Semester started well. Our fall sports are, you know, starting well. They're all doing well. Our number one team in the country, defending national champion women's soccer team, is undefeated. They have a game tonight at 7. Should be a good match. I'll be there. Men are doing pretty well, too. They're 5-1-1. So and volleyball is doing well, too. So semester kicked off well. I went to a semiconductor conference in Orlando to inquire. I'm on a advisory board for this company called Engine that gets grant money to help schools looking at starting maybe a semiconductor program. So that's why I went. And so there's a lot of, if you've been following news too, a lot of interest in the U.S. getting back into, you know, doing our own semiconductors. So nothing more to report other than I, you know, talked to the interim president that, you know, we would, Valencia has just started an AS degree in semiconductor technology and that we may be interested in looking at that one down the road. and that we would, you know, want to partner and try to get some grant money, and they are, you know, favorable in us looking at that. So so we had that meeting, was very productive. Had a meeting, Dr. Howard and I went to met with Senator Leak and UCF staff regarding the facility they want to build on campus, and that was a productive meeting. They're conducting a traffic study to see the impact on our parking, as well as another option potentially for the building location. I think, you know, when we all met, we had an option north of the 140, 150 buildings, and then one option just south in that parking lot. But then another option, and it was funny, I mentioned it to Randy actually before the meeting about possibly doing it between our building with the Weatherall building and that 140, that parking lot that's there. It's a very large parking lot, and it doesn't have a lot of parking, and it could be a great location to put that building. It would kind of fit the row of buildings that kind of go along campus. It still would be a massive presence because architecturally it's going to be a nice looking building compared to the brick buildings that I'm in and that UCF's in. So we go to the meeting, and President Cartwright brought that up as an idea. So we talked about that. So the architect's going to sketch one out that would be in that location, possibly even a little bit of an L shape where it might connect. There's a courtyard between the two buildings. So I'm going to use that space, which would then further limit the amount of parking that gets consumed. So, it was, I think, a good meeting. I don't know, Randy, if you wanted to elaborate on anything on that?
No, I think it went well. We stressed the parking challenges, which I think is, to me, the key issue they've got to solve. And hopefully they'll come back with a creative solution.
Yeah. And we showed them our master plan to, you know, I think, and, you know, where I think that location would, you know, meld in well with the other line of buildings that we have. And yet still, you could actually set it that it would stick out a little bit in front of Weatherall and 150, so it'd be the one that knows would stick out, but it wouldn't be across the street into the large parking lot. And I think it still keeps the student center as the gem that it is when you're driving by, you know, ISB, as well as, and we showed the master plan and told them that we have there is a building that the board approved on the CIP to, I think it's number 3 on our priority list, but it'll be here in a few years before you know it. And that's a potential building that would go just across the street of our entrance, parallel to the Husseini Center. So, you know, again, so if that comes to fruition, plus a building there that really limits parking in that front corner there. So, but it was, I think, a good meeting, and I think everyone was looking to find a good solution there. I went to a ribbon cutting on, is that yesterday? Yesterday at the Amazon Center. If you ever get to see it, the place is massive. And I didn't realize there was a tour, and that the tour included climbing 3 flights of stairs with my brand new knee that's still not fully functioning yet. And Randy, thank you for bailing me out of the parking lot as you saw me dragging my leg to my car. But he got me a ride to my car. But it's a good facility, and I did link up afterwards and pass my cards around to some folks there, because while I was there, they presented a check for some funds to Volusia Futures. And but took the opportunity to talk to them about our vocational programs or technical programs that might be able to help them. So the person that handed out the check has my card, so we'll be talking to them in the future. So, and then the last thing is, again, this is draft form, even though it looks like it's final form. That's what's nice about having a print shop on campus. You can print these pretty quickly. And these are this year's legislative requests. You can go through them pretty quickly here. The first one is the continuation of the airframe power plant building. We have been funded twice previously. I think we had a $7 million allocation 2 years ago and $5 million last year. And we're looking for the remaining $12.2 million to complete that building. And again, that's in reference to the letter of intent project. Number 2 is another building down at New Smyrna Beach Edgewater campus. You know, we do see this as our foothold into the Space Coast. And we think that might be a great place to put a building that has some aerospace and other advanced technology type programs. There's a, you know, pretty good boat building industry down there that we could provide some, you know, technical programs in a new building down that way. That's a total build new building of, you know, $19.5 million. The third is for that nice new building, we would need equipment. That would be almost $1 million request to equip the building with the equipment we would need for that facility. And then the fourth request is last year we had a request for, I think it was $1.4 million to get access control systems for every building, for every campus. And we were funded about half of it at $700,000. And we are starting that project. We have a committee working on that. So we wanted to come back and, you know, campus safety is also, I think, one of the commissioner's priorities this year. And so we're going back to try to get the remainder of the funds to finish the access controls and also to get some additional surveillance cameras up on our campuses. So that's a $1.3 million request. And then our fifth is not our financial request, but it's to support, as I mentioned earlier, the UCF Discovery and Innovation Hub facility that, you know, we're just supporting that project. So that's what we have at the moment. You know, Dr. Howard and I were talking, just don't know quite yet to ask, but, you know, we talked about us looking at possibly a, you know, a lab school of some sort. And so we have a committee that, just to update you on that, that has started that process and looking at, you know, what do we need to do to get that up and running? Because I think we think we can start it before we have a building. And then the next, you know, and during this process is figuring out the where do we place this. So we are working on that. We're working on, you know, possibly starting it, you know, sooner rather than later. And as we continue to work on that, you know, and maybe we'll have a workshop on it to further flesh out the board's idea with give us some guidance on the where and, you know, grade levels and things like that. I mean, I think initially, if we start out, we would think we need to be in the eight through 12 to start for a lot of reasons. One being a safe, you know, when you build something, safety is, you know, when you, especially when you're talking elementary school and just a whole other, you know, things to consider when you're bringing that age group on campus. So, so that's kind of an update on where we are on that, that came out of our board retreat in April.
I think at some point it would be neat to get a workshop where we invite maybe some of the community leaders too, like some of the CEOs of the local companies that probably would have a vested interest in something like that.
Yeah.
Good. I just wanted to point out for the board members that the success highlights in here is great. So there, I don't know if anybody read that, but there's some great simple bullets on some of the kudos associated with the college. They're impressive if you read through that.
Yeah. Yeah. I presented this to, again, the session's early, so things are like, you know, crammed up to be early. So the Flagler delegation met last week. So I presented this this brochure, and Senator Leak said, you need to look at Daytona State as an example of how to present your legislative request. So a lot of legislators really like what we put together in terms of it's succinct, clear on what we're looking for. And so, he gave us some kudos on that. Some kudos to our marketing department for putting that together. All right. That concludes my report.
Great. Thank you. All right. With that, we'll turn
it over. Any questions on these? No? Comments? Okay.
All good. Rodden. Let's see what the lights is here.
I know what it feels like to be on stage.
Yeah.
It took my floor.
Okay.
Sorry.
Start singing.
Inspired after all the things we've seen from the tour. So.
Sorry. You have to sing everything you want to say.
You don't want that.
Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon. We have two agenda items for your consideration this afternoon. I'll go over those two items and then request approval on things. So both are easements, and both are easements with People's Gas. And the first easement with People's Gas is an easement for natural gas lines for, I believe, new generators and other possible uses. And then the second easement is to People's Gas again, and this is to increase the size of the natural gas lines that feed into the Daytona Beach campus. Be happy to answer any questions you may have. And if there are none, we'll have a question or approval for granting these easements to People's Gas.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Great. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Okay. This is the first financial report, full financial report for the new fiscal year. You'll recall last meeting's a little too early. We, you know, the first board meeting of the fiscal year, we don't present because we're still closing out the prior fiscal year. And that leads into the start of the new year with establishing beginning balances and everything that comes along with it. So I'm happy to report that we did close out, had a good year end closing, in good shape. Auditors are starting to begin their process of their requests and getting into the financial audit and Bright Futures audit. I think I mentioned last meeting. So we're well underway with the audit process as well. So I'm going to dive right into the report for August 31st, 2025. And you'll see here on the first slide, we've now collected $14.2 million or 44% of our student tuition and fee revenue. $9.3 million of our state revenues, $1.5 million of our other revenue sources, and $7.7 million of our board-approved transfers. So in total, through August 31st, we've now collected $32.7 million, or 29% of our operational budget, which you can see is now at $111.6 million. You'll recall from last meeting, I brought a revised budget forward of just over $108 million. The reason we get up to $111 is because we now have the transfers that were incorporated into the budget, but not part of the operational revenue and expense budget. Those are like the uses for equipment refresh program, the transfers to certain fund two for grants, and some of the other funds for other initiatives. So those are transfers out. So we then true it up in here. So you have about a $3 million bump up in when you look at uses of fund balance plus operational revenue gets you from that 108 to the 111. So just want to make that clear that 111 is going to be our tipping point here from here on out. I look at Trustee Dye because he often quizzes me on these things. So I just wanted to. All right. So we're going to move over to our expense budget versus actual. You'll see we've now expended $9.5 million, or roughly 11% of our personnel budget. We've obligated $15.1 million, or 59% of our current expense budget, and the breakdown is $6.5 million has actually been expended. The other $8.6 million is still obligated with purchase order encumbrances. We've obligated $792,000 of the capital outlay budget. Actual expenditures are $198,000, and another $594,000 is encumbered at this time. So in total, through August 31st, we've now obligated $25.4 million, or 23% of our operational budget. And if you peel back those encumbrances, we've expended $16.2 million of the operational budget, and that's 14% of the budget. All right. Here's our carry forward, our fund balance starting point. We ended the year, as I mentioned, the closeout of last fiscal year. So at June 30th, 2025, the Fund 1 operating fund balance was $23,650,286. We have a 5% state required reserve, which you do the math and it comes to the 6.7 million. Board designated reserve stayed the same as it did last year. We had no uses or additions to that. So 1.6 million roughly is still there. And then our unallocated reserve is roughly the 12.5 million. And then right below that, year-end encumbrances and rollover for other required purposes is roughly 2.7 million. So that's purchase orders that rolled over in Fund 1 that were still ongoing. And the rollover for the other required purposes is mainly the state funding that we received for the EMS equipment last year. We were still in the midst of that project and all the equipment is not all been ordered because of the renovation needs to take place first so that we can then order and outfit the new space into land. So it's about $1.5 million of that number is related to, or maybe a little bit less than that, 1.2 or so is the equipment rollover. So that was state funding that we had to reserve and only use it for that purpose. That's why it's set aside. So net projected fund balance early stages as of August 31st is 23.1 million roughly. And then the note at the bottom is just what I was mentioned earlier. The 3.6 million was some of the transfers that were approved as part of the budget. And then last month, when a part of the revised budget, you'll recall that we took just over 4 million that we did not get funded for the state group health insurance plan. And we are funding that out of our fund balance reserves as well. So between the two, that's how you get to the overall number I mentioned earlier. 7.7 million is the fund balance transfers. Okay, taking a look at revenue received year to year, budget versus actual, you'll see we've collected 29% of our overall budget this year versus 25% last year. So we've doing a little bit better on collections at the early stages. This shows, you're accustomed to this slide, the three-year analysis of student tuition and fee revenue. We're pleased, as Dr. Labasa stated, we're up 7% as of today. I think a little bit more maybe in fee paying. I think it was about 7.5% as of today. Remember, this slide is through August 31st, a little different than today. So you got some timing differences. With that said, we're up per August 31st report, just over $1 million, roughly 8.2% when you look at the revenue. But the difference is, again, timing, and you can see the influx in out-of-state tuition compared to the prior year. So, of course, out-of-state comes at a higher tuition rate than our in-state and other students. So we're very pleased with enrollment and the related revenue. So you see the note at the bottom. You'll recall we budgeted up 3% from the prior year actual. So if we're talking 7-8%, we're certainly over what we budgeted in the fall semester. So off to a good start. Taking a look at our budget versus actual on the expenditure side year over year, you can see we've now expended 11% of our personnel budget versus 12% at the same time last year. Expended or obligated 59% of our overall current expense budget versus 61% at the same time last year. And we've obligated 22% of our capital outlay budget versus 8% last year. So getting out of the gate a little bit faster on the capital outlay, folks getting their purchase orders in and getting the funds encumbered is what that tells us. Shifting over to our Fund 7 capital projects and construction fund. This is the slide I always present that shows, all of our main major control accounts within Fund 7 funding sources. And you can see the makeup and the activity in this slide. It's a little bit busy, so we always do the summary here, which shows that we started the year with roughly $35.5 million, received about $1.5 million in revenue to date. And we've now obligated just over $10 million in projects. Of that, 6.8 million roughly has been expended and 3.2 million has been encumbered. That brings us down to a projected fund balance estimate of 26.8 million through August 31st. Of that, 12.9 roughly has been committed to projects that we have ongoing, and we have roughly 14 million uncommitted and available for other projects. And this slide shows our major projects that are in progress. A lot of these, what you'll recall, are carryover from the prior year, and you can see are going to be winding down here through the latter part of the calendar year. starting with the multi-purpose field. The cybersecurity facility and equipment has been on there for a bit. We just have a little bit of funding left there that we need to use up. The land tactical training pavilion, that is just a matter of just wrapping up some loose ends there. So we'll have that sewed up and finished here in October, we feel. Chiller plant upgrades, both the land further down, you'll see the Daytona one. Those are expected to be polished off in December. We're waiting for a break for the work to be performed over our break so when they can shut down and do the final touches there. Strategically, elevator upgrades is an ongoing, you know, a multi-year initiative. So August 26th there. The Green Center HVAC replacement in October. Building 330 Arts and Sciences Hall remodel. It's well underway. Good progress there. We got a March 2026 estimated completion date. Talked about the chiller. Schildecker Hall AHU replacement is another October completion, we're hoping. Generator replacements that, you know, they were on order a while ago, a long lead time on those items. So we're hoping for December of 26 to have all generators ordered and installed. The underground, we're converting a lot to propane to gas. And so that takes some work as well, which is one of the easements that Rodney just presented. Hurricane Milton repairs ongoing, but we're getting down to the final several items. I think we're getting reimbursements from our insurance carrier on those, so we upfront the money and then we get reimbursed from the consortium on that. Sidewalk site work improvements for the main campus in light of the Res Hall 2 in the future. We're thinking October 25. Auto collision program. This was a state funding initiative that'll be wrapping up in November. DeLand Law Enforcement Training Center remodel, August to 26. Airframe and power. We know we're waiting on the last piece of funding there, so we're hoping for an August of 2027. And then the 150 renovate DSC UCF building 150 renovation should be wrapped up here in October. The land library expansion, that was all part of the remodel up front. First, the library had to move, and then we are able to do the renovation work on the other two buildings. Lemron Center Freshens Cafe, this was a summer project. It's up and running now. It's been a big hit across campus. Students and staff have taken full advantage. They're seeing great sales numbers out of the gate. So we're that was a great project, and it's really added a nice element to the student center, and we're just waiting on. In fact, Alan's presenting the final payment under his time, and then we'll get this one to roll off the list. 320 Health Sciences Hall building envelope. The board approved this one last time, so it's now become a project. Same with the News Journal Center building envelope repairs. And then last but not least is the Athletic Center AHU replacement, and that's slated for December of 25. So in total, 21 major projects here that met the threshold. Total estimated cost of those projects is $69.4 million, and look to continue the good progress there. Any questions or comments on the report? Gary?
Yeah. Marty, in terms of the reserves, what type of yield are we getting these days on those idle reserves?
Yeah, good question. We SBA has been our primary where we've been putting our cash. It's close to 4.5%. SBA is kind of making up ground though, so they're both really close right now, to be honest. So we shifted a lot of cash last year from SBA to SBA to take advantage of there was a bigger margin. Now that gap is coming closer. They're still ahead by a few basis points. Yeah. So we keep an eye on it monthly, daily, and you know, do the shifting as appropriate. And so yeah, those are two major avenues, and they're all pretty close. Now the college doesn't invest in Florida Palm like some of the foundation and the housing corporation do, but as a point of reference, Florida Palm's also right there in the 4.5% neighborhood. So they're all running, you know, all three are running real close. I actually asked my staff recently to provide me a monthly comparison of the three of them so that I know where we stand. So they're all neck to neck right now, but we'll keep an eye on it and do what we need to do with our transfers. OK. Okay. So my next item is our informational item for the all payments over $50,000. This is for the month of August. I've reviewed the list. Ordinary items just happen to meet the $50,000 threshold. And then my final item is our, as we talk about reserves, is our carry forward reserve spending plan. This is an item that I bring every September as required by the state and Florida statute. Each institution must present a spending plan no later than their September board meeting, and then get it off to the state for them to include in their reporting. So this is the that's just our memo, and then let's see. I'm going to start here because this kind of outlines, and we saw it in my board report, but here it's very clear. So the fund balance starts with our board designated piece, and then the college kind of the unallocated fund balance, and then they factor in the funds available. They do their formula. So the amount that we need to talk about and develop a spending plan for is the $14 million there in blue, $14,230,594. Just wanted to make that clear. It's not an exorbitant amount of fund balance, to be honest. It's come down from a year ago because we've been doing some transfers to Fund 7, Fund 3, and utilizing some of the fund balance. So I'm going to back up. I know that it's very small there on this. It might be better on the big screen, but as we look, you'll see the first several items are just what the board approved in as part of our budget back in June. It's the college equipment refresh I spoke about, $650,000. TV station support, operating support. So we did a transfer from Fund 1 to Fund 2 for the TV station of $380,000. Our grant matching funds, that's a $500,000 item that was that you approved back during the budget of $500,000. And then our big one that we've discussed for quite some time is the health insurance plan, the $4 million plus there that we're going to pull out of fund balance for this particular year to get us through for the 7 months is that piece. But it's really the difference between the full cost of the insurance and what we had originally budgeted and been kind of frozen at. So and then the last item is what we have always put on the spending plan is our contingency reserve for a possible natural disaster or anything that might become a hurricane, any big event that might come our way. And if you can't read it because it gets cut off in the comments, but further in that I talk about that only being 3% roughly of our total building inventory. So if you think about that from an insurance standpoint, 3% is not a whole lot. All it takes is one hurricane, right? And that this eight or so million, we could easily use that up. And granted, it would be covered by insurance minus our deductible, but still, you got to front that money, right, to do the work and the repairs, and then get reimbursed after. So it's always prudent to keep a healthy reserve for just that purpose, and that's what we do each year. So with that, I do need we'll need board action on the reserve spending plan unless we have questions or comments on it.
So moved.
Second.
I have one question. Just real quick. Just remind me why it's a 7 month premium. Is that because what you budgeted already covers the other five, or is it just seven for 12?
It's calendar year.
It's calendar.
Yeah. It's a calendar. So January. So we were covered. This has always been our delta. The full insurance costs even over our fiscal year versus what we felt it. We should have been frozen in time. We always thought our old amount as reported was like a $7 million or so, but the full cost is really $11 million or so, and that $4 million we've always said we're either going to get funded or partially funded from the state or not, and unfortunately we haven't to date, so we're going to pick that up and from fund balance. Yeah.
And if it rolls again, meaning if they don't fund it again next year, it'll again just be 7 months, or would it go up?
We would then, we're just going to do this. I think the take is 1 year only. We'll budget always the full expense, but even from a revenue, we're going to build that into our operating revenue budget, the full 12 months. Yeah. So it's going to normalize from here on out. Perfect. To your point. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Good afternoon, board. Just a few items to present today. Some have already been discussed. Item one, which is attachment 15 in your booklet, is what Marty talked about with the Freshens project closing out. So we're looking to close out the Freshens project and pay Bomar Construction the final payment of $26,359.97. And we're recommending the board approve this final payment.
So moved.
Second.
Deb, any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. Attachment 16, item 2 is a new project. Our list is getting a little short. So we have a project to renovate the Gail Lemeron Athletic Center, which is building 310 on the Daytona campus. We did go out for bid on this. We had four construction companies that we received qualifying bids for. Bomar Construction again, CPPBI, Charles Perry, Ovation Construction, as well as Wellbro Construction out of Maitland. So the lowest bid, qualifying bid, again, went to Bomar Construction in the amount of $1.101702. In addition to that, we have additional FF&E cost and equipment that needs to go in. So we're asking for a final total budget of $1,970,000 for this project. We need board approval to proceed.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, the last item is the educational plant survey. So this is the second part of our request to Department of Education for approval. First part is the CIP, where we ask for money. The plant survey asks for permission to build. So this is the every 5 years we conduct a plant survey. That is coming up this year, so you'll see that later on. That'll outline our plan for the next 5 years of programs on what campus we're going to build. This one is the spot survey for the building that Dr. Labasso mentioned earlier. In New Smyrna Beach. This is the aerospace technology avionics program that would be constructed there. It's on our current CIP program, but we need approval from the board and the state to actually build the program. So we're looking for approval to submit the spot survey.
So moved.
Second. Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
All right, not on the agenda, but Lynn gave me approval to present. We were awarded an architectural showcase award for the Deltona Building 2 building that you guys saw back earlier this year from the Florida Educational Facility Planners Association. So good thing about this is Schinkel Schultz, who is our architect here, is also the architect on the UCF building. So we already have some collaboration with them through projects. So good partnership with them. So.
Great. Congratulations.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, very nice.
Good afternoon. We have two items from Academic Affairs. They are both information only. The first one that we have is our annual statutorily required college affordability report. This is the comprehensive response that we have will be submitted on behalf of the Board of Trustees before the end of this month. This includes the cost of materials, tuition, and fees. It also includes our report on whether or not we were able to hit our required 95% of our textbooks being posted, as well as 95% of our general education course syllabi being posted. If you have reviewed the report, you might have noted that we had a little hiccup with the syllabi. But we have actually put some extensive measures in place now so that we not only hit it in the spring by quite a bit, but that we also have been able to hit it for summer and for fall. So we are trending in the right direction and do not expect any further concerns with that as well. And we've provided that as part of our narrative within the report. This is all required by the Florida statute 1004.085 in terms of affordability. Anybody has any questions on the report, I'm happy to entertain those. All right. Second item, again, for information only. This is one that you're very familiar with. It is the cost of textbooks. Back in 2016, this was a requirement. This requirement expired, but you all remain keenly interested in how much we charge for textbooks. So this is our report for the fall of 2025 for textbook cost for our high enrollment courses, but we include all courses in this response. Anybody has any questions about that?
There was the one that was like 22,000 that I figured there was an additional just digit in there, I think.
I think so. I might have missed that. Yes.
The decimal place over one.
Yes. We do not have any textbooks that are $22,000, I can assure you. Not even toolkits in our workforce education program.
I was certain of that.
Yeah, we do have a few toolkits that are in the thousands, but not 22.
Good catch.
Yeah, thank you. And if there aren't any other questions, that concludes my report.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Tom, turn it over to you for the constituent heads.
All right. All right. We're going to lead off this time with Antonio Valley for the Student Government Association.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here to tell you a little bit about student government and what we've been up to since the last time we met. So starting off, we did have our residence hall welcome back. The students moved in. We were there to assist, you know, make sure all the students move in. They didn't need any extra stuff they might have left, you know, make them really feel at home and welcome back those new and returning students. It was a very hot day, so we did also give out snow cones and make sure that they were all very comfortable. And the following day, we did also have our welcome home event for those new residents, where we kind of gave out, you know, pizza. They played some games, made new friends, listened to music, and got to watch as part of our free movie series, the Lilo and Stitch movie that had just come out. Excellent movie, by the way. I highly recommend it. And then, of course, leading into this new semester, we did have our welcome back events at all of our different campuses in the area. These pictures in specific are from our club rush, where the different clubs were able to come and set up tables and get to tell all the different students about, you know, their different clubs and what they offer. You can probably also see their cosmetology was there cutting hair and doing a few other things. It was a wonderful time. We get to give out some free food, snow cones, popcorn, cotton candy. We had students come up asking us, how can I get involved with student life? How can I join these different clubs? How can I join student government? It was a wonderful time had by all, and it was a great way to start off our new semester. Of course, Club Wars, if you guys remember that, we did officially kick that off. We told all of our different clubs. Currently, we have two big events coming up. Currently running is our t-shirt design contest, where the different clubs can submit their graphics. And at the field day that we have on the day following the final day of the t-shirt design contest, we actually get to give them those shirts to wear for the field day where they get to compete. Besides that, we have a few small events coming up. We do have a little spirit day for homecoming where the clubs can dress up in their best spirit apparel, like white and blue, and take some group photos. And whichever club does the best, they get points towards that. We also have a cornhole competition coming up, just a few smaller events happening in between our main events. Our library monthly display, that has been excellent. I actually went to see those book stands, you can see, completely empty. They've all been completely checked out. So wonderful problem to have. But we've also had quite a few students come by the Student Life office and ask us, how can I join SGA? Like, what's all this about? The library loved this so much that they actually asked us to do another one in November. And so we got back to them. We said we would love to do a Native American highlight because it is Native American Heritage Month. So we're still working on picking a few books and a few authors that we'd really like to highlight for that upcoming display. Besides that, the intramural basketball has been going well. We have had we have four teams currently, and they are we're about halfway through the season. We have another game coming up this Friday, and on the Friday following homecoming, we have our grand championship to see which team wins. We've been helping them out a little bit, setting up things, keeping track of scores, that sort of stuff. And as you can tell, this one's probably my favorite, was the pre-law society, the Constitution Day discussion. We had Dr. Kotis, who's the director of our paralegal and office programs, give a presentation about the Constitution, you know, what was the framing of that, what the background behind it. Student government co-hosted that. We helped facilitate some discussions, asked some questions, got the ball rolling a little bit with those discussions. And once that ball was rolling, we had plenty of students who were ready to give their opinion, ask questions of their own, and just engage with one another in a very respectful and friendly manner, which was excellent. It was a wonderful time. Great to see so many students just involved with what they think is best for our country. Hispanic Heritage Day, that just happened yesterday. Part of Club Wars, clubs could bring in a board for Hispanic Heritage Day doing something about either a country or like an individual, inventors. We had boards on Nicaragua, Peru, Puerto Rico. We also had a board on Hispanic inventors and Hispanic filmmakers. We also had a nacho bar, and that line was around the corner. Everyone loved those nachos. And tomorrow is actually our Hope Center Resource Fair. We'll be volunteering there, helping out at a few different places, as well as serving popcorn and cotton candy to the students. We really want to make sure that students know just how many services our Hope Center offers. So we'll be there lending a helping hand to them. Besides that, we have our Heart Walk coming up. We have the entirety of SGA who will be out there walking, as well as quite a few students who have all signed up to come support that. We've been fundraising throughout the entire month, and we're going to continue fundraising until the very last second for this. And kind of coinciding with that same day, we have the homecoming ball later in that day. The day before, we have our S'mores and Movie Night. The students voted, and they picked How to Train Your Dragon, the new live-action movie. And then on the day following that is the tailgate party. Part of that is we're going to do for Club Wars a cornhole competition for the clubs to participate in, see who wins that. That counts to their points. And last but not least, you can see our student government. This is the student government for the fall 25 semester.
You guys have been busy. Great report. Yeah.
Very, very busy, but it's been wonderful. Is there any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And of course, obligatory, it's a great day to be a Falcon.
Okay, thank you. And we have Rachel Dougherty up for Administrators Council. And I think as a college, we're getting close to hitting our goal of $10,000 raised for the Heart Walk.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Real close.
I think we had about 22 teams registered.
Yeah, 22 teams formed. Yeah. I think we're at 98 and change raised.
We're so close. All right. Good afternoon. I'm Rachel Dougherty, Chair of the Administrators Council, and we met for the first time this semester yesterday. And so I'm happy to report that we are now partnering each semester with different groups on campus. And so for the fall semester, it's the Hope Center. So administrators are partnering with the Hope Center to provide foods and other items like that for all the events that they have going on. So the Resource Fair road trip was one of them. In October, we are helping with supplying candy and sponsoring a trunk for Trunk or Treat. And then in November, it will be for Hunger and Homelessness Week. So really excited. We meet again in November. Any questions? Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And next is career and professional, John Penny.
We had our September meeting. It went well again. Our new campus senators are keeping us up to date on what's going on the various campuses is really interesting to hear the reports from them. In that light, though, if anybody happens to know somebody from Deltona or New Smyrna Beach campus who would do well with that, please have them contact me. It's a light commitment, but it really adds a lot to our meetings. So if anybody knows anybody, I'd love to hear it. And we're also collecting for our holiday basket raffle. So if anybody has any donations they want to send my way, I'll be glad to collect those from you. Thank you.
Thank you,
John. And Faculty Senate, Dr. Karen Braley.
Good afternoon. Just introduce myself. I'm Karen Braley. I am a senior professor and assistant chair of the School of Physical and Biological Sciences, and I am primarily located on the beautiful Palm Coast campus. Look at a plug for my campus. Thank you.
No bias here.
I'm okay with your bias on this, yes. So we just had our first meeting in September, new officers, many new senators. So the meeting was pretty organizational and, again, necessary but not exciting. But I do want to mention, I was very fortunate this welcome back to be able to present the 7 Faculty Senate Awards during the main welcome back event. Thank you, Dr. Labasso, again, for allowing that. Faculty Senate gives 7 awards. These awards are all nominated by faculty and voted on by faculty. 5 of them are for faculty, and 1 is for a part-time or adjunct faculty. And the final one is for an instructional support person. So this year, we honored Dr. Heather Mullins for instructional support, Jennifer Fiveash for her adjunct work with the Emergency Services Department, Karen Corey for faculty advocacy, Lewis Metzger for student advocacy, the School of Cosmetology and Barbering for community service, Dr. Amy Osmond for professional development and research, and Matt Kushan for outstanding teaching. That is my report for today. If there are any questions.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
That concludes the report.
Great, thank you. Well, another great meeting. Thanks to everyone that made it possible. And I always like the fact that we added the mission statement. I think that was a Betty Holness idea, which I truly appreciated bringing it front and center every time. And I noticed the last little clause there, transform students' lives and communities we serve. And I thought the tour today, thanks to everybody that put that together, but we certainly saw that. It was great to hear not only the stories of some of the students that had come out of the music production program and how they had, you know, seen careers blossom in ways they probably never could have imagined, but also all the things you do for the community that bring people in from the high schools and just the community. So I can't really see who all's out there that was on the tour, but a great tour. The board, I know, truly appreciate it, and thanks for all you do. Just another plug on the legislative requests for the fellow board members. You know, there's all the planned events where you can go and meet with the legislators, but let's face it, the best opportunity is when you run into them at a restaurant or the grocery store or just go visit them. And so if you get a chance, keep this in mind. To me, also the healthcare item is always something just to keep front and center from my perspective. And then finally, I'll end with appreciate all the report outs from the different constituent groups. Always have. It's great to hear what's going on around the campus from the different constituents of the college. And you know, the student life one, just as an example, clubs are so important. I mean, they're here for an education, but it's also about a time to grow and mature and build great friendships and have a sense of community and a sense of purpose. That's what helps them retain and graduate. And it's nice to hear all the student life and vibrancy initiatives going on. So appreciate all the reports, though. Great, great updates. And it is a great day to be a Falcon. With that, I'll turn it over to Bob.
Great. The tour today is just a reminder of what a fantastic facility this is, the News Journal Center. It's a great, great facility, and how fortunate we are as an institution to have it. And wow, the students and the talent produced out of this is just awe-inspiring. And so it's great stuff, and it brings back memories of when we had Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune's statue that is now in National Statuary Hall in the U.S. Capitol, but it was first here. So, you know, displayed for the public, and again, just a hallmark for this facility and for Daytona State College. So really appreciate everything that is done here. It's a showcase facility in our community, and you know, really enjoyed the tour today. You know, I want to just put a plug in because it's been a tough last couple of weeks when we saw what happened at Utah Valley State and Charlie Kirk's murder. And, you know, you think about the sorrow that I have not only for him and his family, but for universities, colleges and universities, which are supposed to be places of civil dialogue, learning and exchange of ideas. And I hope that we take that tragic moment and we think about that. And I'm so proud of Daytona State College and all that it does. And I hope that it will be a place for free exchange of ideas and, you know, for now and forever. And that we remember that and keep it a place that's safe for students and for the sharing of ideas. And so that's all I have to say.
Thanks. Randy?
Well, first off, I would say amen, Bob. Thank you for that. I've had an opportunity the last several days, different things going on in the community, different places to be. I saw Tom. He already I saw him in a different light until the end of the event yesterday. He was present and at the Amazon building, then had another event later at the Halifax Hospital. And then just to spend some other things in the community. And what I have found, much like today, is the touch of this institution is everywhere in this community. And I thought it was tremendous that you were there yesterday, because I know, you know, traditionally if a few years ago, that might not have been a place that a college president would have showed up. But all of the tours that we do, and to see the different places, to see the learning opportunity, and then actually to go see it in the community and what's going on. The economic development of this community depends a lot on what happens at this institution, and all of you that participate and train up either formal education or vocational education. It's remarkable what's happening, and I think you all should be applauded, and I appreciate the leadership and showing up, even though you needed a lift.
That's right.
And yes, of course, go Falcons.
Bob, thank you for those comments about Charlie Kirk's murder and what you were talking about, the dialogue. And what was great was when our SGA president came up and spoke, and he talked about talk around the Constitution and the civil dialogue that occurred there. What a great example. And thank you for your leadership. Yeah, let's give them a round of applause. And also, every time we have an SGA president, you just think, wow, another great one already. The News Journal tour that we went on today, the enthusiasm of the staff and the students in every stop that we made along the way was just incredible. And that really shows. And it just, again, gives you one more reason to be proud to be a Falcon. And and then also the legislative update. And yeah, Tom, I completely agree with you. I hope our political leaders, not only in Flagler, but other places too, could be as good and concise and effective as we have been in terms of delivering our message. And then finally, my favorite topic, textbooks. I always love it when we talk about textbooks and just the constant work. I am glad that the state is only making our team here do this once a year, but I know that it's an ongoing thing where they're always looking for ways to improve and identify ways in which we can make it better for our students. So, but thank you for your work and your analysis that you provide each and every one of us. And it, again, it's a great day to be a Falcon.
It is. Awesome.
I echo Bob Ruth's sentiments earlier and kind of talking about that tragedy, but I really am so impressed with, you know, what Daytona State is doing and, you know, the students, you know, leading. It's really impressive to see see that free exchange of ideas and that they're having those kinds of conversations, and hopefully that continues forever and ever. Every time we have a tour, I think like this has to be the coolest thing that Daytona State has to offer. And then we go on another tour. And then I'm like, okay, this must be, and I'm just forever impressed with everything. And I think it's the students and the faculty most of all that just make it so impressive because of the passion. I always, you know, I always say like you can feel it, like it oozes from them. And that definitely felt that here today. And there was so much that I didn't know was here. And it is so cool. And what an interesting experience for the students. And it was really cool to hear about the students in Nashville who are living together in a house and kind of working together and in the field. It's really interesting to see that they're kind of doing that and continuing on together. And I love to hear that. And I think it'd be great to get those alumni together. What a great idea to put that group together. So everything is great, and go Falcons.
Great. Well, thanks everyone for being here today. Thanks again to all the staff that makes it happen. You guys do great work, and we are truly appreciative of it. And with that, we will adjourn the meeting.